You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How's everyone doing tonight?
What's up, everybody?
This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We're like a big Italian dinner, plenty for everybody, and leftovers to go home.
That's right.
So, yeah. Oh, man. Looking forward to this week's episode. We've got so many... So many headlines to cover.
A jam-packed episode.
Yeah, I mean, so many things are happening in the news world. But before we dive right into those subjects, we like to go over, you know, what we've been up to in the past week since we've been on the show. So let's start it off, Mike. How have you been? What have you been up to during the last week?
I'm good. I went to my two cousins' birthday party over the weekend. So that was really nice. Some good family fun. Lots of good Italian food, as you just mentioned. And the Destiny beta wrapped up this weekend. I've been talking about it the past couple of weeks. And so that's what I've been busy with this weekend. Birthday parties and Destiny beta.
There you go.
And what about you? I know you had some wackiness going on this weekend, didn't you?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just got to look at your planner. And if you've got a lot of free time in there, you gotta say, you know what, I gotta fill that up with something. So I decided to go to New York City.
All right.
Why not?
Why not?
And oh boy, it was a lot of fun. Ended up seeing a Yankees game.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you got to see Yankee Stadium and...
Yep. I took in the sights in the Bronx.
Nice.
The only bad thing was I picked like the hottest day of the year. It was like 95 degrees, 100% humidity.
The humidity is what gets you. That's the worst part.
For me, it was the sun.
Oh, boy, yeah.
I'm fairly fair-skinned. Fairly fair-skinned, yes.
Fairly fair-skinned, okay.
FFS, that's what they call it. I was just burning, but...
Yeah, especially out at the ballpark, you know, just sitting out there in the sun the whole time.
But you know what? It was worth it for the whole experience to finally see Yankee Stadium and I can say I saw one of Derek Jeter's last games.
Wow. So there you go. Part of history.
Uh-huh. So it was a lot of fun. It was a blast. And then went to Times Square. Of course, you have to go to Times Square when you're in New York City. Just bummed around. I rode in a rickshaw. Why not? When other time am I going to say I was in a rickshaw?
I don't know. So I guess that's as good a time as any.
Right. So, yeah, I just had a random day in New York City. Why not? You know, sometimes you got to look at your schedule and be like, you know what?
Today's a day to go to New York.
We got to do something random.
New York City was quite random.
Yeah, it was. Getting up at 6 a.m. to catch a train in, but you know what? It was worth it. It's a little bit expensive, but it's worth it.
But it's not something you do every weekend.
No, you don't do it every weekend.
This is like a, you know, once a year type thing, if that.
Yeah, but you know what? It was worth it. I had a lot of fun.
Wow. It sounds like it was a blast.
Yep. And all of New York was pretty nice to me. I didn't really run into any trouble.
Yeah. See, you're shattering my perception of New Yorkers, Rich. Why are you doing that?
I'm trying to bring people together here, Mike.
Okay.
Whatever.
We're from Philadelphia. We're the city of brotherly love, but we really don't mean it, do we?
No. Matter of fact,
no, we don't.
I think I read an article the other day that like the Philly fans are like the most depressed fans ever and like don't even like talk to them if you're a visitor.
Well, you know, there's a reason for that, which we're actually going to be getting into in our sports sampler.
That's right. You know what? You want to just dive right in?
We have a jam-packed episode.
Yeah, we should.
We really got to get to some of this news.
All right. Well, then let's find out that reason along with some other reasons and some other headlines going on in our first segment, which we call the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha-ha!
Yep. There you go. Sports. Yep. Coming at you in your face in this part of the show.
Yeah, we're always in your face on this podcast.
Yep. And before we get to some big headlines, I want to point this out. It's just something interesting that I just find fascinating is, you know, this idea of sports superstitions.
Superstition is a very big part of sports.
Yeah. You know, it's almost kind of ingrained in the sports world. You've got to.
It is.
You've got to acknowledge some kind of, you know, lore or magic or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every player, every team, every fan base has their own little quirks and superstitions and, you know, like you said, lore.
Yeah. And the one that was on display this past week was hockey.
Okay.
Gotta love some hockey.
Yep.
And it has to revolve around the comedian Seth Rogen.
Ah, I like Seth Rogen. He's a funny dude.
Yep.
So what's he been up to?
Well, he had a charity event in Canada, and as a skit, as part of the charity event, he decided to, quote, do the most Canadian thing ever in the history of Canada or events.
Okay.
And that was to drink Canadian beer out of the Stanley Cup.
Ah, okay. That's pretty Canadian, I think.
Stanley Cup, obviously the championship for hockey.
Right.
So, and
hockey,
to make it,
of course, is a huge sport in Canada.
Yep. And to make it even more Canadian,
okay,
they chose the Montreal Canadiens star player PK Subban, who's very well known in the city of Montreal. And so they had him come out and help Seth Rogen drank the beer in the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
But there is a strong superstition in hockey.
That's right.
It's actually like a commandment at this point.
I think we talked about it once.
Yeah.
About a certain celebrity.
Yep. This tradition is that if you have not won a Stanley Cup legitimately,
right,
you should never touch any Stanley Cup.
Okay, yeah.
It brings bad mojo, apparently. And hockey players swear by this.
Right. Of course, we've talked about this when Justin Bieber touched the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Yeah,
way back when.
That stupid person.
Yeah, I didn't want to reveal that it was touching the Stanley Cup before.
There you go. Thank you.
Right.
So PK Subban decided that to keep the superstition in check.
Okay.
He decided to drink the beer out of the Stanley Cup. But he did it with a very long straw.
Okay.
So that he did not physically touch the fake Stanley Cup.
Okay. So there was no touching involved.
No.
Okay.
So, yes.
So everything checks out.
Yep. PK Subban is in the clear. He did not touch the Stanley Cup. He just drank from a long straw.
Okay.
So anyway, I just find it so ridiculous that these players go to these lengths. It's not even the one that Seth Rogen had is not even the real Stanley Cup. It's just a fake one.
Right. It was a fake Stanley Cup. But still, the thought of it made the hockey player uneasy.
Yeah.
The thought of drinking out of a Stanley Cup, even a fake one.
Right.
That's how strong the superstition is.
Just how ridiculous it is. Yeah.
I mean, you talk to any sports fan and they'll mention all the different superstitions.
That's right. Well, you know what? Let's go over a couple of them.
Okay. Well, there's tons to go over.
Yeah, there really is. We could spend all night talking about sports superstitions.
Yeah.
But let's pick out the biggest ones here. Let's go to baseball and something that is always a big no-no.
This is probably one of the biggest ones.
Is that if a pitcher could be on the verge of throwing a no-hitter, you do not talk about a no-hitter.
Yeah, big no-no.
I've seen it written in an article and I love it. The first rule of baseball is you do not talk about a no-hitter.
Second rule of baseball is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Or no hitters.
Or no hitters.
Yes. You know.
I was making a Fight Club joke.
Right. You should have done more emphasis because he does, you do not.
I know.
About Fight Club. I love it when he's just not. It's almost Borat-ish. Not.
Maybe a little bit.
But anyway, yes. So, if I was witnessing a no hitter.
You don't mention it.
You don't, yeah. If I was at Yankee Stadium on Sunday and J.A. Happ, who was pitching, was on the verge of throwing a no-hitter. You do not mention.
Yeah, you don't say, hey, look, you know.
Right. No.
No hitters.
No.
Yeah.
You leave that thought in your head, and that's it.
Yeah. Don't even think about it.
Yep. It's a jinx.
Yeah. It's something very sacred in baseball is to not mention the no-hitter.
Right. As well as a perfect game.
Yeah.
So don't do that either.
People are always, you know, weary or cautious of, like, summoning bad mojo, you know, or jinxing it somehow.
Yep. Another baseball superstition that I love, which I still can't believe this is still a thing, is the infamous curse of the Billy Goat.
Yeah, when we were going over some topics for this, you know, this is one we stumbled across, and we all know that it's such a historic one, but we didn't realize just how historic it was.
Yeah. For those that don't know, the curse of the Billy Goat is a curse that is placed on the Chicago Cubs back in 1945 when Billy Goat Tavern owner Billy Solanas was asked to leave a World Series game against the Detroit Tigers at the Cubs' home ballpark of Wrigley Field because his pet goat's odor was bothering other fans. He was outraged and did say, quote, them Cubs, they ain't going to win here no more.
And you know what? They haven't.
Nope.
It's been how many years since their last World Series win?
Well, first off, World Series win, they haven't won since 1908 Theodore Roosevelt was president.
That's 105 years.
Yeah.
For those that don't want to do the math.
Right. So you might be thinking, all right, you know, World Series, that's the best of the best. That's, you know.
Right. It's tough to win one of those.
Right. All right. How about just even winning the league championship? How about just even making the World Series?
When's the last time they won that?
When they kicked Billy Sionis and his goat out of Wrigley Field, 1945.
Wow. So
that's coming up on 70 years.
So 70 years, they haven't even won a berth to the World Series.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, whoa. That blows me away.
That's really tough.
Like, there are a couple of other teams that haven't won a World Series in a while, but they've made it. You know, they've made it to the World Series.
Right,
lost or they got swept or something.
Yeah.
But the Cubs have not even been in the World Series for 70 years.
70 years, yeah.
Imagine if the Eagles weren't in the Super Bowl for 70 years.
I know. That would be ridiculous. you know, we got upset when it was only like, what was it, like 30 years for the Super Bowl, and then we ended up going back. But 70 years.
Yeah, to not even have a chance at the World Series.
You could be born and die in that amount of time,
yeah.
And your team would never make it to the World Series.
Yep. So there you go. And that streak is still active. So we'll see if the Cubs will ever break that. I'm going with a no.
Well, you know, we don't know. They might break it eventually, but
well, you know what?
It doesn't look too promising for them.
You know what? I'll tell you what. At this point, I know Wrigley Field is very historic and everything, but
what if they just move, like, just down a block?
Yeah, just, like, go play in another. Go renovate the. How about renovate the stadium?
Right.
And in the year that you're renovating the stadium, go play in another ballpark. See if it changes anything.
That'll be the year they win.
Why not?
You watch. That'll be the year they win. Or maybe invite a long distant relative of this guy and bring a goat back, or you know, some way to appease the baseball gods.
Yeah, because obviously whatever they're doing isn't working. 70 years without even making the World Series.
Wow. That is just ridiculous.
Yep.
But you know what? Curses don't have to be, you know, these big historic events. Sometimes they're brought on by something more modern, as is the case with football, something that we're very aware of here on the Crispy Noodle, being football fans and video game fans. One of the biggest curses recently for the NFL is the Madden cover curse.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. He not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
Yeah, any player that has been featured on the video game series Madden NFL usually runs across a boom, boom, and stumble.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. He not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
Yeah, I mean, some of these players, you know, just to list a few, Dante Culpepper, he appeared on the cover of Madden 2002, and then the next year the Vikings went 5-11, and he broke the record for most fumbles in a season.
Woo!
Mike Vick was on the cover, and then the next year he broke his leg in a preseason game. He was out all season, and that same year was the year that the dogfighting thing came to light.
Uh-huh.
Donovan McNabb was on the cover in 2006, and the next year he had a sports hernia, missed a whole bunch of games, and we tanked that year. What did we go, like 6-10, something awful? And that was the year after we had just made it back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Alexander, Peyton Hillis all had bad seasons afterwards. So a long history of Madden cover athletes getting, you know, some type of injury or bad luck, or the team suffers because of them.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Yeah, these players aren't managing their cover status.
I guess not. So I guess the key is to not be on the cover, which it could affect the Seahawks' chances of repeating this year, since
Richard Sherman's on this year.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and he wanted the whole Legion of Boom to be on the cover.
Uh-oh.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they could all be down for the count.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see if the Madden curse holds true with Richard Sherman. But you know what? Not all these curses are, you know, on have to deal with the big sports. There are some that deal with, you know, other sporting events, not necessarily sports. One of them that I came across in all this research was this weird superstition surrounding NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
We don't talk about NASCAR a lot, but I saw this and I said, we got to talk about this. Apparently, in NASCAR races, they don't allow peanuts or $50 bills.
That seems two random things to ban.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. But according to this article on Bleacher Report, they don't allow peanuts in the shell to be sold at NASCAR events. This dates back to before World War II. Peanuts in the shell are almost never sold at or around a NASCAR event because they are considered bad luck. And according to racing lore, peanut shells were always found in the smoldering remnants of a badly wrecked car.
Really?
I don't know if there's a way to prove that. I don't know, you know, what the deal is with this, but
seems like a scheme or something, like in a cartoon, like you just like get like peanut shells and just
and
put them on the track
and
then watch the crash happen.
But a scheme to what? Destroy the peanut companies of America? Why would they?
Damn peanuts.
Those damn peanuts. But yeah, so no peanuts. And same thing for $50 bills. A legend says that
every crash is a $50 bill.
Well, no, it was basically the same thing. The legend says that two $50 bills were found in the shirt pocket of champion racer Joe Weatherby after he was killed in a crash in 1964.
Really?
So yeah. So
wow.
There, all it takes is, you know, a little thing like peanuts or a $50 bill to you know, get all the fans and the organization a little weary of the bad voodoo vibes.
That's crazy.
That is weird.
I'll give you another one that's crazy as well.
Yeah, and this is to ward off bad mojo, right?
Yeah. Shorts for basketball can be very important to players.
Okay, how so?
They were very important to his heirness, Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Michael Jordan always wore his University of North Carolina Tar Heel shorts under his uniform in every game that he played.
Wow.
For the Bulls.
Wow, that's a lot of games.
Yep.
So what, he thought that they were lucky, they would bring him good luck?
Yeah. And hey, he won 6 NBA championships, so I guess nobody...
I'd say it works.
Yeah, nobody quite second-guessed that.
You know, some Sixers players might want to steal a couple pairs of those.
It's like Space Jam, you know? Like you put on the shorts and you got Michael Jordan's powers.
Wait, wasn't there a movie called Like Mike where some kid like finds his shoes?
Yeah, that was with Little Bow Wow.
Little Bow Wow?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I remember that movie.
All right. Little Bow Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Alan Iverson had a cameo in that movie.
Did he really?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh, yeah. He has, you know, just like a short, like, five-second little scene.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too.
Yeah, Alan Iverson doesn't even remember being in that movie.
It's strange to us, too.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too.
Yep, so there you go. He doesn't even remember being in it. But, yeah, I remember that.
Wow. You know what, though? Speaking of Allen Iverson and Philly teams here,
yeah, this is appropriate.
Perfect segue. Here's a curse superstition that all Philadelphia sports fans should be aware of. We're talking, of course, about the curse of Billy Penn.
Yep. The lore was that no hat shall hang higher than William Penn's hat on top of City Hall.
That's right.
But that changed when skyscrapers were being built in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And ever since the buildings passed his height on City Hall, Philadelphia teams went zero championships.
Of course, the one exception to that would be the 2008 Philadelphia Phillies.
Yep, but it was only because that year they put a small statue of William Penn on top of the Comcast building, which is right now the tallest building in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and also, there's a lot of other weird stuff. We've talked about this before. There was a lot of weird stuff going on around that World Series. A game was delayed because of torrential rain.
Yep.
They had to resume, like, the next day.
Yep. They had a Game 5 Part 1 and a Game 5 Part 2.
It was the sequel.
Yeah.
It was also being played very close to Halloween.
Yep.
So there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
I believe it was a full moon, too.
Yeah, there must have been a werewolf somewhere around there as well. It's just very weird, almost mystical type stuff going on.
Yeah.
But that's how much we believe in the curse of Billy Penn here, that we need a full moon on Halloween, torrential rain, and a statue to be – it's almost like we're conducting a ritual here, you know, under the full moonlight when the rain comes down, you know?
Someone get me the blood.
Someone
get me the blood of a Mets fan. And
we must sacrifice Eli Manning in the circle, of chicken blood.
Yeah.
But thank God that that curse has been broken.
Well, broken but then resealed.
Well, let's hope it's broken.
Okay. One of our teams has to get to another championship game to find out.
All right.
That's the key. We haven't been back since, we were there once, but the Phillies lost. So. Right. But anyway. And I figure we'll just wrap this up with probably the biggest curse in all of sports in the recent era, that would be the Sports Illustrated cover curse.
Yeah, it's not good to be on the cover.
Yeah, apparently you would figure that you would want to be on the cover, but not so if your team is, doing good that year. There were apparently 10 incidents just in 2013 of an athlete appearing on the cover and their team suffering because of it. One of those happened to be Nick Foles. The Eagles were in the middle of a 5-game winning streak, and then he appeared on the cover, and we lost to the worst in the NFC North, Minnesota Vikings.
That was a horrible game. I remember that one.
48-30.
Yeah.
You know?
It was a trap game.
It's one of those trap games, thinking, we'll just steamroll them. But nope. Not the Vikings.
Nope. I remember that one.
So, and of course, everyone remembers one of the most recent ones, the Denver Broncos appearing on the Sports Illustrated cover before the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, look where that got them.
And we all know that the Denver Broncos ended up just fine, didn't
they? Until the actual game of football in the Super Bowl.
With a score of 43-8 in favor of the Seahawks. So,
boy, I will never forget that one.
That was a bad Super Bowl.
I remember, I was, like, pumping it up as, like, you know, we're going to see, like, the best of...
Oh, my God, we covered it for, like, 3 weeks straight on the podcast.
Yeah, you know, best of the best.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. With honors. You know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
Yeah, and that was the Broncos. They had no clue why they were there, and they just – oh, my – I remember they were down 28-0. I was just like, is this really happening?
Yeah, it was pathetic. Yeah. We thought it was going to be so good, top-ranked defense versus top-ranked offense, but, you know, the Broncos had to go and appear on the Sports Illustrated cover, so
– yep, and look where that got you.
Yep, a Super Bowl loss.
So there you go. I thought that was just – I thought it would be an interesting way to start off this sports sampler with some superstitions, especially with, the lore of, not touching the Stanley Cup before you win it with PK Subban. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. It's moments like that that make you realize how much superstition there really is in sports.
Yeah. All right. But you know what? You know – that's all of the sports superstitions aside. Let's get into some serious news headlines.
All right. Sounds
something
good.
That Mike needs to talk about.
Yes.
I think the last 2 weeks I've been like trying to force off any sort of football topics.
Not this week, Rich. Not this week.
Mike needs his football fix or else he's not going to make it to August.
Even though it's only a week away.
Yeah. So you know what? Let's appease Mike. Let's give it to him. It's time for some football news.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fuck football.
Well, you know what? August is this time for some preseason football, so it's appropriate now.
That's right. And getting into the preseason mood, one of Yahoo's football blogs, Shutdown Corner, recently ranked the Philadelphia Eagles, our favorite team, number 6 overall in the league.
Yeah.
What do you think about this, being ranked 6th overall? I mean, that's pretty good. Exciting, but also makes you a little nervous, don't you think?
A little bit, because it does make it sound like there's high expectations for this team.
Well, I mean, there are high expectations when you think about it.
Shutdown Corner, their first sentence kind of says it all here. In Chip Kelly's first year as Eagles head coach, Philadelphia led the leagues in yards per rushing attempt. They also led the NFL in yards per passing attempt, too. That sweep during a season in which offenses kept getting better included one of the highest scoring offenses in NFL history. It is completely remarkable. It also speaks to the Eagles' potential under Coach Kelly. If you like the X's and O's of football, this Eagles team is going to be incredibly fun to watch.
Wow, so some really high praise there.
Yeah. So, I mean, this could be, you know, a sign of good things to come. But what do you think? They're ranked 6 in all of the 32 teams in the NFL. Is that high? Is that low? Is that just right? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's tough to really place it. We did make it to the playoffs last year.
Yep.
Which I don't think many people were expecting.
No. Wait a minute. That is something I did want to bring up. Last year, do you remember how the Eagles started off?
I don't know. Why? How did they start off? Probably awfully, didn't they?
Yeah, this Eagles team started off, if you forgot, 3-5 last year.
Wow.
And 3-5.
And we finished 10-6.
That only loss is that damn Vikings loss.
Wow. So we were, you know, right up there with the better teams in the league. We were almost 11-5, which is considered a very good football season.
And they started out 3-5.
Yeah, so go figure. Wow.
So, as this article puts it, at 3-5, nobody was excited about the Eagles last season until they went on that hot streak in the second half of the season.
Of course, because of, you know, amazing quarterback play from Nick Foles and LeSean McCoy just running away with every opportunity he had.
Yep.
So, ranked number 6th, I think, I don't want to say it's, I'm nervous to say it's fair, but part of me thinks somewhere around that range, maybe not 6 exactly, maybe 7 or 8 I would put them at. I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
What about you? Too high, too low, or just right? How's the porridge feel to you?
To me, I think it might be a little too high, especially when you consider teams in the AFC that are contending with some other, you know, mega teams that they got to deal with as
That's right. And also basically the entire NFC West.
Yeah.
So...
But you know what? I think this is a fair assessment. The Eagles should be able to win this division.
Oh, yeah, easily.
If they don't win the division, this season's a disappointment.
Yeah, I mean, winning the division should not be an issue.
Right. So I consider that to be the benchmark for this season. They easily should be able to win this division. And then I'm going to say they should win the first game of the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm expecting them to have to play in the wild card round. So if they win the wild card game... Yeah, I think that's doable.
So I'm sensing another 10. I'm sensing a double digit number of wins plus one playoff win for Chip Kelly needs to get his first postseason win.
Yeah, I mean that sounds reasonable and that seems doable with this Eagles offense.
Yeah.
So yeah, number 6 maybe a tad high. Like I said, maybe 7, 8, you know, around that range, maybe even 9, but. Basically, I think we're both in agreement that things are looking up for the Eagles.
Yep.
that we both expect good things from them.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, I mean, not to take anything away from the Eagles' talent, but the rest of this division is just not looking good.
Yeah, it's just
I mean, really, just on an objective level, like, what have the other teams done?
Although, I will say this, we might be getting ahead of ourselves because the Redskins might creep up on everybody. I mean, they have DeSean Jackson, and RG3 is going to be healthy. And, you know, this division is not known for stellar defensive play. Both the Cowboys and the Eagles were in the bottom two teams last year in terms of pass defense. So the Redskins, they could sneak up on a few people.
Until RG3 has somewhat of a superstar season, I don't think he's something to worry about.
Well, I don't know. He's got the legs. He's got the arm. Now he's got DeSean Jackson. They have a running game. I mean, I still think we should be able to win the division. No problem. But okay. The Redskins are definitely a team to keep an eye on.
To give you an idea of the other teams in our division, how they ranked, Shutdown Corner put the New York Giants at 21.
That seems fair.
Dallas Cowboys at 24.
That also seems fair.
And Washington Redskins still in the basement at 30.
Really? 30?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I mean, based on last year, yeah. You know, I'm basing my assessment on the possibility of a good year this year. But based on last year, yeah, I think they're down there.
Well, I mean, this is supposed to be predictions for this year.
Predictions for this year. They put them at 30, even with DeSean Jackson and a healthy RG3.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, I think it's because RG3, he hasn't been proven yet.
I
he
don't
only
know.
Had that one year where they fell ass backwards into the division title.
Yeah.
Other than that, they didn't really do anything.
Well, I don't know. It's always a team like that that sneaks up, that everyone thinks is, oh, you know, they're not going to do anything. And then all of a sudden, they start creeping up.
All right. Well,
I don't know. I get very, very worried when you start taking things for granted in the division. You know, because our division opponents, you know, they always give us a tough time.
Well, you know, hey, they're division opponents. That's why they're supposed to give you a tough time.
Exactly. They wouldn't be very exciting games if they didn't.
Right. So there you go. Eagles favored at number 6, according to Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner in all of the NFL. It's pretty high.
That is pretty high. Maybe too high, but still we've got high hopes.
Yep.
You know what? Two players on the team, though, that we all have high hopes for are Nick Foles and LeSean McCoy. After last year, I mentioned them earlier when talking about the ranking, they were probably the two people responsible for that crazy winning streak we had. I think it's safe to say.
Oh, yeah.
The play of Nick Foles and LeSean McCoy were just absolutely stellar. I mean, probably the best some of the best in the league during those weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So here's a question. Now that we have this ranking, number 6 overall, now that fans are expecting a playoff win like we are, after two great seasons statistically, who's under more pressure, Nick Foles or LeSean McCoy? Is it Nick Foles under pressure to do even better than last year, or does the pressure lay on LeSean McCoy to carry this offense, you know, being the leading rusher from last year?
I'm going to go with Nick Foles.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, you know, last year was his first starting season. He started games, took control of the team. So I consider this year his sophomore year.
Right.
He could hit the sophomore slump. Regression could really hit him.
Yeah, that is always a major concern, is the sophomore slump.
Yeah, and it's a real thing, too. I mean, a lot of players hit that.
Yeah, and he didn't play a full year last year.
Right.
You know, I think he played 10 games.
Yeah.
And he was phenomenal. I'm not taking that away from him, but it was only 2/3 of a season.
Right.
So you have to factor that in as well. I would agree. This town has always been so hyped up about its quarterbacks.
Yep.
You know, look at the way we treated Donovan McNabb here. So Nick Foles, no matter what he says, he's got to be feeling that pressure. You know, we are so starved for a franchise quarterback. That's got to be a lot of pressure on this young guy, especially given his stats last year, to come back and be even better. But I will say this. I think there is a fair bit of pressure on LeSean McCoy as well, because he was the leading rusher last year. And this year he knows that the majority of that offense is going to fall to him to carry this team. You know, we have to worry about injury concerns, which he never really seems to get injured, but if he does get injured, what does that mean for our offense? You know, we're missing DeSean Jackson now. That puts even more pressure on LeSean McCoy. Can he, get the same amount of yards, have the same breakout performance if they the opposing defense to start loading 8-9 players in the box now that they don't have to roll a safety to cover DeSean Jackson deep. So I think also LeSean McCoy does share a good amount of pressure. I think Nick Foles probably is facing a little more, but LeSean McCoy has got to be feeling it as well.
I would agree as well.
I'm interested to see how the new guys perform and, you know, how this team can progress and build upon what they did last year. I think that's really what this whole segment boils down to, is can they get better? And I think we're both in agreement that there is a lot of room for them to get better. It's all a matter of actually doing it.
There is. They had a great first season with Coach Kelly. Now it's time to build on it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So there you go. That is what we are looking forward to in this upcoming NFL season, and the preseason starts very soon, so keep an eye out for that. Mike's excited.
I am.
But you know what? Before Mike gets so excited he has a heart attack or something.
No, we don't want that.
We need to take a break. But you know what? We'll have another great segment coming up. The Entertainment Entree. We've got some video game news and a little mini report from Comic-Con. You got to mention Comic-Con when it happens.
Got to mention Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con.
That's right. And then after that, the non-fortune cookie odd news. So trust us, there is more show to come. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally German Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally German Entertainment.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name, selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking out some sweet tunes right here. You gotta love some Alice in Chains to come back from the break, isn't that right?
Oh, you gotta love some Alice in Chains.
Yeah, you know, I really love that latest album they did, The Devil Put Dinosaurs Here.
That is just an awesome album title.
Yeah, right. You should check it out just for the album
it's
title.
Got devils and dinosaurs. I mean, what's there not to love?
Right. I also wanted to play a little bit of a rock song.
Okay.
Because I want to give a sausage shout out. Yeah, bringing back the sausage shout out here.
Sausages.
Yep. I just want to give it out to a dance comp. A dance company called Tap and Burn.
Okay.
It's something that my sister is a part of. She does.
Oh,
she
that's
loves,
cool.
She loves the dance. And apparently they just drink. Well, they dance and then they go out. I'm
they
having
drink,
it backwards here.
They drink and then dance.
I wish we would drink first and then dance.
That must be interesting dancing.
Yep. No, they dance and then they go out to a happy hour.
Okay.
Which they call Tappy Hour.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, they have, their, you know, intense, dancing practice and then they go out for drinks afterwards.
And then they dance more.
Yeah. Why not? See, that would be my logic.
That's the cycle.
Yeah, I would rather drink first than dance.
Yeah.
Cause
it helps you with the dancing.
Yeah, it helps me with the coordination.
Yeah.
So anyway, wanted to give a sausage shout out to Tap and Burn because they said that they're going to try and do a rock dancing number. And if they do, they're going to dedicate it to me. So
very cool.
Yeah. So there you go. Props to Tap and Burn for trying to do rock dancing, I guess is what you would call it. So you guys get a sausage shout out.
Sausages!
There you go. Only on the Crispy Noodle Podcast will you find sausage shout outs.
Yeah, I still don't know why we do that.
Sausages!
Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. We are a Chinese food themed podcast that talks about sports, entertainment, and odd news, and we have a sausage shout out. I can't even say it. It's,
yeah.
It's so baffling.
Sausage shout out. If you want one, tweet at us at the Crispy Noodle or on individually, Rich Liebig for me, Mikey Costanzo for
That's
you.
Right.
Or give us a comment or a like on Facebook. We'll give you one.
Yeah, just tell us I want a sausage shout out and we'll give you a sausage shout out.
Sausages!
Just like that.
Yep. So we'll spend like 5 minutes talking about you.
Yeah, perfect. Where else would you get something like that?
Nowhere, that's where.
Exactly. All right, now with all that hoopla aside, let's get back into the news. And our next segment is devoted to the entertainment news because it's the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Quite honestly, let me just say this out in existence. I need an airplane. I need an airplane. One that can go global. You got an airplane? You want to let us borrow? We'll pay for the fuel and everything else. Let us borrow it. We need an airplane.
And there you go. Glenn Beck apparently making, you know, a little request from his fans. He apparently needs an airplane.
Yeah. By the way, guys, if any of you have an airplane that we can borrow here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, just mail it to us.
Mail it to us?
Mail it to us. Some assembly required.
We could use your expertise on that.
Yeah.
But
why does he need an airplane? Just because?
Just because.
He just wants one.
In reality, he did a segment about Israel or something.
He
wants to go visit Israel. But,
so book a flight?
Yeah, but apparently that's not good enough. He needs his own airplane.
He needs a whole airplane to himself.
Yeah,
okay.
So he needs an airplane.
Okay.
Quite honestly, let me just say this out in existence. I need an airplane. I need an airplane. One that can go global. You got an airplane? You want to let us borrow? We'll pay for the fuel and everything else. Let us borrow it. We need an airplane.
I also like how he says one that can go global. So we can't even be talking about continental United States here.
Yeah.
It's got to be one of those global airplanes.
Yeah, well, you know, go big or go home, right?
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just think that audio by itself is just priceless.
Yeah, I need an airplane.
And he's so calm about it, too. Like,
I need an airplane.
You got $5? How about an airplane? What?
Yeah.
I would just like to say this. If you have enough resources to donate an airplane to Glenn Beck, please consider donating $5 to the Crispy Noodle. Yeah.
Anything, really.
Anything to the Crispy Noodle.
A stick of gum.
We're not... We could use some gum. We talk this whole time. We might get a little bit of bad breath.
Yeah, we need some gum.
Yeah, so, you know, please feel free to donate anything to the Crispy Noodle if you're seriously considering about giving Glenn Beck an airplane, one that can go global. So there you go. I thought that was just a crazy-ass clip coming from Glenn Beck, of all people.
Quite honestly, let me just say this out in existence. I need an airplane. I need an airplane.
So there you go. He needs an airplane.
Oh, boy. So Glenn Beck. So there you go, guys. Glenn Beck needs an airplane, and we'll take whatever you got.
Yeah, we'll take the leftovers.
We'll take the leftovers.
We'll take the regular. You know what? We'll take the regular airplanes, the one that just go, like, you know, from, like, Philly to Boston. That's it. You know, we'll take the crappy one.
Is that your next weekend trip?
Maybe.
Boston?
It might be.
Yeah.
I went to New York City. Maybe Boston's
now
next.
Boston, yeah.
Could be. All right, but you know what? Enough foolishness. Let's get into the headlines that we've got planned. And our first one is a little bit of video game news.
That's right, a little bit of video game news. One of our favorite franchises.
Oh.
Talking about Bioshock, of
course. Yeah. Oh, that music scares you, but it's fun.
It is fun. Especially given this latest teaser from one of the 2K companies.
Yeah, so, this was from 2K United Kingdom?
2K United Kingdom tweeted out a picture of one of the in-game posters from Fort Frolic, which we'll remember as Sandra Cohen's playground from the original Bioshock. Remember?
Yep.
And the poster says, "Come bite the apple, Eve's garden." And the tweet says, "Ooh, what could this mean?" So just
don't play coy with me.
This just dropped randomly. Out of nowhere. 2K UK. Ooh, what could this mean with this picture attached to it?
Well, to me, it's a sign that 2K is going to hop right back on the Bioshock train and get another one out.
So are you thinking a new Bioshock? Or what I'm thinking is it could be a remastering of the trilogy for next-gen consoles.
Yeah, could be.
What do you think? Do you think new Bioshock game, new maybe a spin-off, or maybe a remastered collection?
I think we're more likely to see a remastered collection.
Yeah, it's too soon for a new Bioshock game.
Yeah,
really.
People are still obsessed over Infinite.
Yeah, I know. And considering the long development cycles, it's only been 1 year, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I don't know how they could get out another Bioshock game, you know, or even start teasing one at this early of a stage.
Yeah, so I'd agree with you. It's probably more of a remastering for PlayStation 4. But you know what? It still wouldn't surprise me if they've got something planned for a new game already. Definitely.
This is not a franchise they want to give up.
Yeah, and you also have to remember, Ken Levine is not, you know, heading the Bioshock anymore. He's working on a new project, which I'm personally more excited
for. That's the one I want to see.
He's
teased.
Keeping that one under wraps.
Oh yeah, he won't reveal that until a year before it's gonna come out.
Yeah, so that's something to keep an eye on.
But I you know, Ken Levine doesn't own the Bioshock franchise, sadly. Which company owns it? Take-Two, and 2K's under Take-Two.
Yeah,
I think so Take-Two owns it, and 2K is the developer that developed the second Bioshock.
Right.
Not 2K United Kingdom. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, there's like 2K Studios everywhere.
2K Marin, 2K United Kingdom, 2K
Australia.
Yeah, there really is a lot of them.
Right.
So this is part of a company that has worked on a Bioshock game previously. So, you know, it makes sense for them to be doing something with the franchise. And I think we're both in agreement that this is probably going to be a remastering.
Yeah.
I think that's most likely.
Probably.
That seems to be the really popular thing to do nowadays is remastered video games. You know what, though? It's a good opportunity for, you know, maybe gamers that missed it this past generation to play an updated version on the new consoles.
Yeah.
I think that might be interesting for – I don't know who didn't play Bioshock.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
I guess there's some, but
you know, not everybody is it. Yeah, no, not everybody has been.
I guess maybe
mind warped into Bioshock yet.
I would have used a different word, but we're not allowed to.
But you know what? Speaking of remastering, we also have another popular game that now just got remastered for PlayStation.
That's 4. Right. You can go out and pick it up right now. We're talking about The Last of Us remastered for PlayStation 4. It comes packed with 1080p, 60 frames per second graphics, all the multiplayer and single player DLC, new audio options, and all that jazz. This is the definitive version to own. You know, there's a lot of Xbox converts to the PlayStation 4. So I think this is mainly for them. Mm-hmm. People that didn't get to play it last generation because they were playing on 360. So now they get a chance to play it on the PlayStation 4. But, you know, it's just interesting that we're talking about one possible remastered project and one, already confirmed and released remastered project. This is a huge trend in video games, isn't it?
Yeah. This idea of remastering old games for the newest console.
One of our favorite franchises, the God of War franchise, was remastered for the PlayStation 3. Is that how you first played God of War? Was the collection?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's how I first got into it. Yeah.
So there is definitely a market there for these remastered games.
Because, sometimes games, fall through the cracks of, when you're playing it and, you didn't get a chance to play it.
Or even if you want to relive them. Like, I know I've purchased a couple of collections from old PlayStation 2 collections that I was a huge fan of. But it just brings a question to my mind. Where do you stand on remastered games, Rich?
I think it's worth it. I say it's good. I say it's absolutely worth it.
But what about when companies start focusing on them a little too much? Because this is all of a sudden we're getting a lot of remastered titles.
Well, I mean, I don't think it hurts. I mean, if there was a legendary game, I don't see why it's a bad thing to put it on the newest console. Updated graphics, why not?
That's true.
And also, for me personally, I might not want to keep my PlayStation 3 anymore when they start stopping games for it.
Right. Because the PlayStation 3 is not backwards compatible, so there's no reason to keep it around for PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 1 games even.
Right. So if PlayStation 4 starts remastering all of my favorite PlayStation 3 games, I won't have any, issues in selling back my PlayStation 3 and then upgrading to PlayStation 4.
Right. And, if you ever get the hankering to play those games again, there's the remastered version right there for you.
Perfect.
That's what I ran into with some of my, favorite franchises like Ratchet and Clank and Sly Cooper, these old, cartoony platformers I used to play on the PlayStation 2. They came out with collections for PlayStation 3, and of course I had to go out and get them and play them again, and God of War as well. I can't really go against the remastered game trend because I've been a huge participant in it by buying a bunch of these remastered collections. I will say this, though. I enjoy the idea of the remastered collections more than individually remastered games, because the collections, it's about owning an entire series. But, if they start doing this like each individual game, I understand that The Last of Us was a huge game. It's one of those ones that deserves to be remastered. But I don't want to see every single solitary game get remastered all of a sudden.
If Bioshock does this remastering and they do Bioshock, Bioshock 2, Bioshock Infinite, Bioshock Burial at Sea,
if it's all in one package, yes. But what I don't want to see is like a really good single game. Like, I'm trying to think of a single game, like maybe Red Dead Redemption. Like, I wouldn't want to see a remastering of that. I'd rather have a sequel to that rather than a remastering.
That's true.
Like Grand Theft Auto 5, I don't know if I would want a remastered game of one that I've already completed and it's just one game by itself, if that makes sense.
If it's a dedicated series, you want to see that.
Yeah, I would rather go for the series, like God of War, or maybe Uncharted, or Mass Effect, the Mass Effect collection.
Yeah, I would love. Right? I would love to have Mass Effect on PlayStation 4, and every. I was saying this a couple weeks ago. Why the hell are the downloadable content prices for the Mass Effect saga still at high prices?
Yeah, yeah.
It shouldn't be.
They're still $15 a piece, aren't they?
That is BS. All right? If you really want to get some downloads, all right?
You can tell he's pissed because he hasn't played the Citadel DLC.
I know. I want to play the Citadel DLC, but it's still at $15.
Yeah. I mean, you can get the whole collection for like $20 now, so why is the DLC?
Yeah, why?
So
here's what they should do. For PlayStation 4, they should put Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3, all of the downloadable content,
yes.
All of the story content,
yes.
The extended cut, everything into one easy-to-use downloadable package and slap on $60 on it, bam, I'm in.
Would you rebuy the series for PlayStation 4
Yes.
If that was the package.
If everything from all the downloadable content, all of the extended cut, everything, if that's all thrown into one nice, tidily neat together Mass Effect package, I'll buy it.
That, I think, is the perfect use of remastered collections. That I think, it should be the purpose of them, you know?
Because right now, if you buy it piecemeal, it's so expensive.
It'll cost you a couple hundred dollars, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe not a couple hundred, but...
Well, not a couple hundred, but yeah, it's
but
up there.
It's a lot. It's, you know, you could buy a whole new game for, you know, just buying this little DLC.
Yeah.
But I think that's the perfect example of how remastered collections should be handled. But, you know, this Game of the Year edition stuff, it starts to worry me that it's just, you know, re-releasing the same thing over and over again to make quick cash. I mean, the companies have every right to do that, but I'd rather see a substantial collection like a Mass Effect collection, like
yeah.
a God of War collection, where it puts everything together in one package rather than, you know, I'm not saying that The Last of Us Remastered isn't a good idea. It is, because there are definitely a lot of people that missed out on it last generation. But, you know, I get a little wary if there are, you know, individual remastering start to become a big thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to see Red Dead Redemption PS4. I don't want to see Portal 2 PS4 or Heavy Rain PS4. You know, I'd rather see sequels or new IPs. I guess that's my main concern. I don't think remasters are a bad idea, but if they're used properly, right. I guess is the main thing.
That sounds fair.
Yeah. So but you know what? Nobody has to worry, because remasters are, you know, they're here to stay.
Yeah. So right here, I'm making the promise, if they release a Mass Effect PlayStation 4 complete bundle, I'll buy it.
You'll have to replay the whole series.
I know.
Again,
right? And that's what I would do. I would love to replay the whole Mass Effect series.
Would you go Renegade this time?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Did you
play Paragon?
I was Paragon, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I played Paragon as well. You got to be the hero.
Yeah, it's nice to be the hero.
Yeah, of course. You know, because I'm such an a-hole in real life, so.
No, Mike, you're not that bad.
This is so bad. There's a common enemy. Kill him!
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
That fucking sucked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got maybe a lot of quotes that could be Renegade.
Oh, boy.
There's a common enemy. Kill him!
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
Yeah.
There's your Renegade options for Mike.
About that.
There you
I
go.
Might have to replay the series as a Renegade now.
So, there you go. You know what? Hey, speaking of Mass Effect.
Oh, my gosh.
This leads perfectly into our first batch of Comic-Con news.
That's right. As everyone knows, the biggest Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, just wrapped up. And there is a ton of news coming out of the event. And
look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
Renegade Mike is on the scene.
Yeah. Renegade Mike is on the scene. And Renegade Mike is covering his favorite bit of news from San Diego Comic-Con. Mass Effect news, Rich.
Yep. Mass Effect 4 news.
Well, that's actually one of the things they talk about. They don't want to call it Mass Effect 4. But they haven't given us a title. So what the hell are we supposed to call it?
Idiots.
There's a common enemy. Kill him!
I'm just going to call it Mass Effect 4
What am I trying to say?
See? They don't even know what they're trying to say. You don't know what you're trying to say. What the hell's going on, Mike?
I don't know. I'm just going to call it Mass Effect 4 because there's nothing else to call
it. I'm going in the Renegade mode here. I am the Satan's number proclaimer!
That's really Renegade.
Yeah, that's super Renegade.
That's not Renegade. That's just Satan worship at that point.
I am the Satan's number proclaimer.
Well, yeah. You know what? Actually, this is a good springboard topic. Speaking of Satan, one of the hellish devices for Mass Effect 1, the infamous Mako, is back in the next Mass Effect game. Did you enjoy the Mako? No, the answer is no. No, nobody enjoyed the Mako.
That's a pain in the ass.
Really was, except for the parts where you could drive straight up a vertical cliff face.
It's the Mako. It can do anything.
There you go. No physics exists with the Mako.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, the Mako is a little armored tank-type vehicle you could drive around to explore these open-world planets.
But it kind of got tedious.
It got really tedious. But luckily, BioWare is saying they've learned a lot. And then the new Mako is much faster. It's got better physics, and it has no cannon because this is strictly for exploration purposes. It sort of serves as a fast travel means to get around these big open world planets. So it's very nimble, and you can apparently they're thinking about customization options because they said if you're going to be driving around a lot, you know, you want to have your own personal stamp on this thing. So what do you think about this revamped Mako? No cannon, more agile, and possibly the option to customize it.
I don't know. I'm a little...
Yeah, you're still a little worried?
Yeah.
Boy, I know. It's that original Mako left such a bad impression on gamers.
Yeah, and also, I like the fact that there was at least a weapon on it so I could defend myself. And now you're telling me there's no weapon on it.
Well, because the developers are saying there's a much greater focus on exploration in this new title. It's all about exploring, you know, new parts of space.
All right, well, I got an idea. Explore me a damn title so that we can label this properly.
I know. It's either Mass Effect 4 or the next Mass Effect, both of which are incorrect. But
apparently, whatever.
What are we going to do at this point? So a much greater focus on exploration. What do you think about this? Because exploration is something that a lot of fans have been clamoring for, you know, since Mass Effect 3 was pretty linear, really.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of exploration in that.
No. But, you know, I didn't really mind it, you know?
You didn't mind the more linear progression?
No. And you know what? At that point, Mass Effect 3, you're getting to the tail end of all these stories upon stories in which you make decisions that have consequences,
right,
that give you different endings.
Right. In Mass Effect 1 and 2, there was a little bit of time, like more not leisurely pace, but, you know, you could take some time. In Mass Effect 3, you're in the middle of a war.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to have...
be exploring.
Right, right.
So to me, it nulls itself out. I didn't really find it an issue.
But I will say, I would be happy to get a little more exploration in the next title.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's part of the Mass Effect experience, is being immersed in that world and exploring it, and that sense of discovery. That was the thing that grabbed me about Mass Effect, is that it was such a wonderfully realized and fleshed out lore and universe. There was a lot to discover and a lot to learn and to explore. So the developers are really focusing on that this time around. They say it has a spiritual successor vibe around the game, that they're really focused on exploration and recapturing that sense of discovery in the new one. So that's really exciting for me. I'm really looking forward to that aspect of it. And you know what? You'll be doing all of your exploring as a human, because the main character was revealed to be human. All
right.
So there was some talk about possibly, you know, being another race. But it seems like they're sticking with the human as the main character.
Well, that's a safe bet. Yeah. Everyone that will be playing this game is a human.
That's true, as far as we know.
I guess that's true.
What do you think about the main character being human, though? Because there was a large portion of the fan base that wanted to see maybe the option to switch up your race in the upcoming Mass Effect game, like be a Turian or an Asari.
Yeah, you know what? For Mass Effect being able to customize your main character, yeah, that does surprise me that there's no option to switch.
Yeah, especially Dragon Age, BioWare's other big RPG, they let you choose a different race. You can be elf or, oh boy, dwarf, I think. I don't really know. I didn't play Dragon Age.
Yeah, you're
I don't know.
Boring,
you don't like
boring,
fantasy.
Yeah, yeah, elf, dwarf, whatever.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Give me Turians and laser blasters, right?
Yeah.
That's boring. You're boring, everybody. Quit boring everyone.
Thank you. Homer agrees with me.
Well, anyway. I was sort of in the other camp with regards to changing the race of the main character, because I worried about the voice acting of all things. In my mind, I'm thinking if they have more than one race that you can play as, you know,
you need more voice actors.
More voice actors. Mm. I didn't want them to have a silent protagonist, because in this day and age, a silent protagonist is the most jarring thing to have in a video game. I don't know. It's just, unless it's BioShock 1. BioShock 1, it worked perfectly because it really wasn't about the characters talking. But that's a completely different game. In an RPG like Mass Effect, I think you need a voiced main character.
Yeah.
And I'd be afraid if they expanded the options that then you would have a silent main character, which would just drive me insane. I don't know. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, silent main character is not worth it.
Yeah. The only one that I can think of that pulled it off is the first BioShock.
Yeah, and that's because there's a reason to it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, go play the game, really.
Yeah.
if you haven't in the previous 7 years.
Definitely get on that.
But you know what? You can still be different races in the multiplayer. Multiplayer is coming back. They say that, you know, competitive is critical, but that cooperation is a bigger aspect for them.
That's awesome.
The co-op multiplayer was a huge success with Mass Effect 3. I played a bunch of it. Did you?
Yep.
Did you play? You played a bunch of it?
Yep. I love co-op multiplayer.
Co-op multiplayer is just great.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. I hope it comes back in the same form or, you know, even expanded rather.
Yeah. So, to me, I don't understand why there isn't like co-op missions.
I really would have liked to see like standalone co-op missions, you know, nothing along the same thing as the story, but, you know, simple little go here, do that. Yeah. So maybe that's something we'll see in the next Mass Effect.
That would be awesome.
Because that's something that fans were looking forward to with Mass Effect 3, but it didn't happen. So, and I know browsing the subreddit, a lot of them are kind of disappointed in the early days of Mass Effect 3 that there was no actual multiplayer missions. Definitely some interesting tidbits to tide over your appetite for new Mass Effect information. But the biggest thing, though, is that the developer said they're years away from release. Which to me says 2016 at the earliest.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way that they'd be close to early state.
Yeah. If they haven't announced anything by now, there's no way they would release in 2015.
No. So definitely keep an eye out, but it's probably going to be later than sooner on this scale.
Yeah. definitely got a little bit of a wait ahead, but maybe some of this information can tide you over until then.
So there you go there. But how about we switch from something that's later than sooner and that it instead sooner than later.
What?
That's what I was going with.
Okay. I think you mean to say instead of focusing on the future, let's focus on the here and now.
Yeah, that would be more succinct.
Okay. It's something that actually is happening this very weekend.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy comes out this week. A lot of hype behind this Marvel movie.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for this movie.
Yep. I mean, it's just everywhere. I've seen posters. I've seen billboards.
And the trailers. You got to love
the trailers are awesome.
Hooked on a feeling.
Yep.
Come on. You gotta love it.
Oh, yeah. I love the fact that they picked that song for the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Something very interesting is that even though the movie has not yet come out, it comes out this weekend.
Right.
Even though it has not yet come out, they have already signed up for a sequel to this movie. Do you think that's a good indicator for this movie?
I think it's an indicator that Marvel thinks it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marvel's probably right. They know at this point they can put out anything and it'll rake in several $100 million. That's just a given at this point, given the success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this sequel would fall into that mysterious 2017 year. We talked about three movies coming out in 2017, and we had sort of tossed around the idea of a Guardians of the Galaxy sequel.
Well, there
and
you go.
Here we go. As for it being a good idea, you know, I'm going to say, sure, why not? Like I said, no, I mean, honestly, Marvel.
In Marvel, you trust.
In Marvel, I trust. Yeah. Really, have they led us astray so far, with the exception of Ant-Man? Although I really shouldn't diss on Ant-Man. It's still like 2 years away from release, so I really shouldn't say. But I don't know. What do you think about this sequel? Good? Bad?
I'm just a little cautious of awarding a sequel before the movie's even out already.
But here's the thing. Marvel has done this tons of times before. Look at Iron Man. They ended the first Iron Man with that S.H.I.E.L.D. and Avengers teaser. Like, that is the biggest...
That was
you know,
pretty cool.
Betting the whole house on a franchise type thing that any movie studio has ever done. At that point, they're like, okay, we got to do this Avengers initiative thing if we're going to include this teaser. And they pulled it off.
Yeah.
So Marvel has a history of doing this ever since the first Iron Man. They knew where they wanted to go. So I don't know. So far, they've been hitting them out of the park, really.
Yep. Well, I mean, if their streak is any indicator, Guardians of the Galaxy should be good, and they should be justified in producing a sequel. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 already confirmed as the first Guardians of the Galaxy gets released this weekend. I'm excited to go see it.
I'm very excited. Very excited. Can't wait to see that giant tree creature thing, Groot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that Vin Diesel?
That is Vin Diesel. Apparently, he put a huge amount of effort into that role, even though he only says one line, "I am Groot." But no, I read that he like went over with the director the connotation of each line and each scene and, you know, what the emotion is behind it, what's the thinking behind it. Like, a lot of dedication there. It's good to hear.
That's good.
Yeah. But anyway, long story short, go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, should be pretty good. All right, and one last piece of Comic-Con news, and this is for DC fans. Are you excited for the new Batman versus Superman movie?
Not really. I know I should probably be excited about it, but no, I mean, in all honesty, you know, it's no secret. I'm a Marvel guy over here. You're the DC guy, really.
By default.
Well, no, I mean, you've always been a big Batman fan.
Yeah, I love Batman.
I don't know how you feel about Superman, but it'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see the new Batman.
Yeah.
Really.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah. That's the big thing.
Batfleck is what they're calling it
Batfleck.
Right now. at Comic-Con, the suit on Batfleck, if that's what you want to call it, was shown.
Okay.
So he looks pretty, he looks like he could pull it off.
He looks like Batman?
Yeah, he does. He looks like a decent Batman.
Well, he's got a similar build to Christian Bale.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Oh, good for you.
That's what Christian Bale has to say about it.
All right, then.
Oh, good for you.
But we also have some other confirmations as well.
All right.
The biggest one, Gal Gadot is going to appear as Wonder Woman in this movie.
Okay. So we knew that she was going to be Wonder Woman, but just not when she would make her first appearance.
Yeah. Right. We didn't know if she would be a major character in this, or if this, or if she would just be, you know, like a cameo, or you know, something that would tease a future movie.
So this isn't a cameo. This is an actual.
Yeah, she's gonna, okay. She actually has a pretty big role in this. So
okay,
that's interesting to note.
So this is their first step towards the Justice League, right?
Yeah, I mean, I believe so.
If they're gonna have Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman all in one movie. I mean, are they heading?
This is going to tease a future Justice League movie,
definitely.
I believe.
I can see the end of the movie being like, you know what, Bats? We make a pretty good team, don't we? And Batman's like, yeah, Superman, you're right. Let's make the Justice League.
It's not usually how it works. But
you
okay.
know that's how it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Batman just calmly says,
let's do the Justice League. Exactly
no,
like
that's
that.
That's not how it works. Come on.
How do you think it's going to happen? give us your rendition now.
I think what would be really cool is if you take some sort of massive worldwide, you know, something that's gonna face, you know, Armageddon on mankind, right?
Right. This in the Batman versus Superman movie? You're imagining this?
Not exactly. No. This would be if they did a full out Justice League movie.
Okay.
And what happens is whatever this threat is that faces the world, whatever this Armageddon threat is, Superman and Batman don't, you know, they don't team together, and instead they try and face them each on
individually,
their own.
Yeah, you know? No offense to Batman, but I mean, you know, Superman's got like heat vision and flying.
Batman also has a lot of things.
I'm just saying, when you talk about, I mean, Batman's great with like gang lords and stuff like that, but Armageddon type events, I don't know, does Batman have a spray for that on his utility belt?
Yes, anti
anti-Armageddon. Thank God I have this anti-meteorite spray.
Yeah! Woo! That was a close call!
An earthquake, you say? Luckily, I have these earthquake stabilizers.
Yeah, perfect.
A tornado, you say? Like, it's just the same line over and over again. But, no, all kidding.
He just goes around to all locations of the earth, just spraying things. Justin Lee, coming 2018. Spraying things.
Featuring Batman and Batman Spray. But all joking aside, no, I think you make a good point about there being like this big cataclysmic event. And they try and face it on their own, and they can't do it, and they're forced to team up. I think that's how it's going to happen. But definitely some major teasing for the Justice League in this Batman versus Superman movie, especially now that Wonder Woman's going to be in it.
Yep. And also one more confirmation. Jesse Eisenberg, the guy who was in The Social Network
as
Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
He was also in Zombieland, another good movie.
That's right. That's right.
He is officially cast as Lex Luthor, which I think could be interesting.
I don't know. I'm just not seeing it.
No?
I can't get the image of him as Mark Zuckerberg out of my head. I just can't picture him as evil. You know, he's like weird and quirky in Zombieland. He's like weird and quirky in The Social Network. So are we going to see a weird and quirky Lex Luthor?
I don't know. I think
it's like, oh, Superman, you're like a jerk. Oh, I'm not going to like you on Facebook. Like, I just can't.
Take
I just,
that, Batman.
I can't picture it. You know, people complain about Ben Affleck being Batman. Like, I would complain more about Jesse Eisenberg being Lex Luthor than Ben Affleck being Batman. I can see Ben Affleck being Batman. I can't see Jesse Eisenberg being Lex Luthor. Can you?
I think he's got to develop the role.
Okay.
And I think he's got to develop an evil side to him. And I think
that's
going to
take some doing. Yeah, you know, he's got Zombieland and The Social Network under his belt. Neither of them scream evil.
No. Not outright evil.
Or
no.
Even intimidating. Or even dramatic. You know, well, The Social Network.
Social Network was dramatic.
Yeah. But dramatic in a different way than supervillain dramatic. You know?
Oh, I can't convince you on anything DC, can I?
I mean, Batman's really the only thing I like with DC, and even then I'm pretty picky with the Batman stuff. You know, either it's the Dark Knight trilogy or it's the Batman Arkham trilogy on video games. Those are really the only – and that one god-awful Batman Sega game I had as a kid where it was just bad. But anyway, there's the only things Batman that I enjoy.
All right. Well, you know what? As long as we're covering this, I'm the one that's looking forward to it. I think it should be at least worth the price of admission. Batman versus Superman, news coming out for that, and I will keep an eye on that.
Yeah. No, you know, I will keep an eye out for it as well because I'm interested to see DC's response to the Avengers.
Yeah.
Is really what this is.
That's really what this boils down to.
Yeah, can they pull it off now with their own superhero universe? And also, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they handle the superhero click. You know, the Avengers take a very tongue-in-cheek sort of, you know, comical stance to it with a little bit of drama in there. I want to see how DC handles the relationships between the different superheroes. I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So I am interested. Any superhero movie is, you know, up there on my list of awesome things. So
except for Ant-Man.
Except for Ant-Man, yeah.
There you go. All right, well, you know what? I'll say Ant-Man, and that way we'll have to go on a break.
Okay.
Let's talk about Ant-Man.
Oh, let's take a break.
There you go, perfect. We'll go take a break, but do not go anywhere, because you know what's next.
Oh, could it be my favorite segment of all time?
That's right. We got your batch of odd news for this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. A lot of laughs, a lot of weirdness to come in our next portion of the show. So do not go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey. Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide, thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're refreshed, we're ready to go, and it's time for Mike's favorite portion of the show. Isn't that right?
That's right. It's time for the wild, the wacky, the always fun and entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
In your face! Ha ha!
So there you go. In your face.
The odd news is definitely in your face.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yep.
For those of you that are new to the non-fortune cookie odd news, what we do here is Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. So he finds the articles, he keeps them hidden and safe from me, so I have no idea what he's going to read and bring to the table tonight. All my reactions are my gut reactions, my genuine first time hearing these stories. So it's always exciting because we never know what's going to happen.
Yep, simply put. I just read the stories, we react to them, and we can't believe what stupid people do.
Yeah, a good time is had by all, except for the stupid criminals.
Yeah, because they go to prison.
They go to prison. Although sometimes they sneak in things that they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Didn't last week we have a whole segment about that?
Yep.
Yep.
Yes,
so
we did.
If you want to know what we're talking about, go check out the last episode, episode 71 of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, for a recap.
Yep.
But as for this week's odd news, what do we got first?
All right. Well, you know what? It's very rare that in the odd news we have a celebrity featured in this.
A celebrity?
Yeah.
Now, is this a real celebrity, or is this like in the past where we had like Peyton Manning, but it wasn't really Peyton Manning?
No, but we haven't had one of those stories. Yeah, where okay. The perpetrator was the same name as a famous person. No.
Right, right.
Nope. But our first story, I can't believe it.
Okay.
Revolves around Stephen Hawking.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not a name I was expecting to hear.
Yep. Stephen Hawking, the world-renowned astrophysicist and professor at the University of Cambridge. Yep.
Okay. So why is he in the odd news?
He is kicking off the odd news.
Okay. What did Stephen Hawking do?
Well, according to an interesting report from...
I am a badass, Richard.
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he's a BAMF.
Okay.
Well, according to the website Radar Online, they claim that they have eyewitness reports and accounts of Stephen Hawking, the world-renowned astrophysicist and professor at the University of Cambridge, frequenting a California strip club. Hello. How are you doing, ladies?
Let us get freaky tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, according to the report, Hawking has reportedly been a member of the Freedom Acres Swingers Club in DeVore, California, for more than 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got some game.
A swingers club?
Yeah.
So that's not just strippers.
Yeah, it's, well, they're included in it.
Well, I know, but I mean,
the use of the term swingers indicates a little something more is going on than just removing of the clothes.
The 70-year-old allegedly attends the club with his nurses in tow and then has naked dancers grind on him.
He's got his real nurses and his fake nurses.
How are you nurses doing tonight?
Astrophysics are fun.
As long as you are grinding on me.
Check out that astrophysics.
Oh, yeah, Mike with the pickup lines.
Well, that's Stephen Hawking's pickup line.
Come on, you use that one.
Oh, yeah, because I'm a fan of astrophysics.
Yeah.
The guy that both hates math and science.
That's your opening line to the ladies, isn't it?
Yes, of course. Check out that astrophysics.
Yeah, yeah. Have you heard of that theory of relativity? Yeah.
What about it?
It's relative to you.
Okay, then.
I'm not good with this.
I'll stick with the astrophysics line.
You're good at that.
Okay. If you say so. Oh, boy. So, did Stephen Hawking use a line similar to that?
Well, he arrives with an entourage of nurses and assistants.
That's the funniest part of the story to me, is that he's got, like, this whole brigade of, like, helpers, you know, with him, like, monitoring his vitals and giving him vitamins as
making
he's, like...
Making sure he's alive.
Yeah, making sure... Let me check his pulse, you know? They give him the little blue pill when he needs it.
Well... According to an eyewitness, last time I saw him, he was in the back play area, laying on a bed, fully clothed, while two naked women were gyrating all over him.
Wow.
Getting the game on here.
Jeez, yeah. See, he used the astrophysics pickup line.
Perfect. People who come with Hawking wait nearby and have drinks while he is busy with the ladies.
He'll just gotta wait for him to finish.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Don't cut in front of Stephen Hawking. The man has earned his lap dance. Well, it also says here in the report he'll even take photos with people in the club as long as in a neutral area.
Okay.
But most people will admit that Stephen Hawking is by far the last person they expect to come in this club.
Yeah. You don't really, you know, associate Stephen Hawking and strip clubs.
Yeah.
But
apparently he likes them.
I guess so.
What man doesn't? Come on. Let's be honest.
It's just so funny thinking of Stephen Hawking, like, in that way, you know? Oh, yes.
You are using the laws of physics correctly on that poll. I'm going to need one of my nurses to change my pants.
Jeez. Come over here and feel my gravitational pull.
All right. Is that enough science sex puns for everybody?
Science sex puns. Only like half of them were accurate.
Yeah, all right. We don't know science.
No, we don't.
But there you go.
Stephen Hawking does. Yeah. He knows the science of picking up women at the strip
club.
I'll tell you what.
I want to go clubbing with Stephen Hawking now.
Yeah. Think he'd be fun to go clubbing with?
Yeah, obviously. It says he has naked dancers grind on him.
That's true.
And he's been doing this for 4 years, according to the real report.
So he just started 4 years ago?
Well, yeah. He probably has time now.
Probably has time now. I guess so.
You know, he's a little bit retired now.
Yeah, I mean, what else are you supposed to do? Study science?
Boo. That's like boring
and
stuff.
He just spent the first 60 years of his life studying that stuff, you know?
Yeah, so come on.
Time to study a different type of science. He's switching from physics to biology.
Oh, yeah.
More specifically, he's studying anatomy.
Yes. I need to know your anatomy right now.
This is actually research he's doing, so don't get any dirty ideas. Yeah,
intensive science.
It's hands-on research, really. He takes it very seriously. He needs a large sample size, so you know he gets a large. Nobody can see my hand motions. Thank God.
Yeah, we didn't need to see that.
Okay. Anyway,
You guys don't need to see that. This is why this is an audio podcast. Yes,
thank God. Everyone's breathing a sigh of relief. Whew.
All right. How about we go back to some regular odd news?
You always crack me up when you say regular odd news. Could you please define regular odd news?
You know, not what a celebrity.
Okay.
let's go back to dumb criminals.
Okay.
That's a staple
dumb criminals
on the odd
good.
News.
Okay.
You gotta love dumb criminals, and this one might even be dumber than some of the ones we had on last week.
I find that hard to believe, but we'll see.
Well, listen to this story. A Colorado man made it very easy for law enforcement officials to earn their paycheck after he allegedly robbed a bank while wearing a t-shirt that had his name on it.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
That is pretty much the absolute wrong way to rob a bank.
Yeah, I mean, he might as well just been wearing a sign that says, arrest me, I'm a criminal.
According to police, John David Martinez went to a Wells Fargo branch in Denver wearing a personalized polo shirt that bore his name. The suspect approached a teller and said, this is a robbery. Give me the money.
Yep. I can't believe he was wearing a shirt with his name on it.
Yep. To make it even easier, the suspect also drove his own Honda to the bank and parked it right in front of one of the security cameras.
Of course he did.
So investigators were easily able to use a license plate to track down Martinez. Officers showed his DMV photo to a bank employee who confirmed that it was the same man.
Yeah, it was the guy wearing his name on his shirt.
Yep. After the full investigation only took 5 hours, Martinez was arrested.
Of course.
5 hour investigation.
I don't understand how you can, like, you're getting ready for your day and you say, you know what, much like you just decided to go to New York. This person just decided, oh, you know what, I feel like robbing a bank today.
Yeah, it's time to rob a bank today.
So he's getting ready, he's getting dressed, and he puts on a shirt with his name on it. Doesn't he stop and think, like, maybe I shouldn't wear a shirt that identifies me?
Well, while he was in custody, Martinez reportedly said that when his wife asked him where he got all this random money, he said that he had, quote, borrowed the money.
From a bank.
Yeah, you know, just from the bank.
Yeah.
Just, you know, illegally with a gun.
With a gun, yeah.
Well, the 68-year-old was booked into jail on investigation of felony robbery involving $20,000 or more.
Wow.
So, yeah, he'll be in jail.
It always amazes me how criminals, like, identify themselves somehow, whether it's, you know, via a selfie or wearing a shirt with his name on it. I mean, criminals seem to be getting dumber and dumber as time goes on.
Yeah, well, guess what?
What?
I got another dumb criminal story for you.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
They're the bread and butter of the odd news.
Yep, just keeps on going.
Okay, so what did this dumb criminal do?
A man wanted by the Ann County Police bragged in a Facebook post that police can't catch him.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
And then he was caught.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Roger Ray Ireland, a 28-year-old of Edgewater, Maryland.
Okay.
That's how you say it. He was arrested in South Baltimore and served with an outstanding warrant for violating his probation. Police featured him in one of their weekly Facebook posts called Wanted Wednesday. Uh-oh, yeah, we got a new hashtag for you.
Oh, God, Wanted Wednesday.
Hashtag Wanted Wednesday. That's very clever.
That is. I like that.
Well, anyway, police posted his mugshot as the hashtag Wanted Wednesday Facebook post.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
The police prompted people to tag his family members in the comments section so that they could find him, so that his family would find him first before the police did. That's when Ireland saw the post and decided he had to comment on the Wanted Wednesday Facebook post.
Oh my God.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Are you ready for his intelligent comment?
Did he use numbers in there by any chance?
No, no numbers.
Okay.
But
did he use correct spelling and grammar?
Not at all.
Okay. So what did he say?
I'm going to read it as it stands.
Oh, good Lord.
Yo, all y'all people tagging my whole family about my business. Stay ... outta my business. These police can't catch me. I'm the greatest.
Oh, my God.
It was all written in punctuation either, so that's why I'm reading it as such.
Was it all caps? That would be great.
No. But a lot of missing letters.
Yeah.
Including whole family, not W-H-O-L-E,
H-O-L-E. Oh, okay.
My whole family.
His family that lives in the hole.
Yeah.
Did he spell business with two Z's by any chance?
No.
No? Oh, that's a shame.
There's no I in the middle. It looks like busness.
Busness.
It's my busness.
Well, I'm, what
you get off my busness.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
What he's trying to say is you have me confused, dear police officer. I am merely a bus driver. That's why I am asking you politely to stay out of my busness.
My busness.
Not my business. My busness.
Hmm. Well, other people couldn't believe that the criminal had commented on his own Facebook picture of himself wanted by the police, as the following comment literally said, quote, wait, what? Isn't this guy right above my comment that guy? Well, it only took the following day to find and arrest Ireland. An assistant public defender will represent him in a court hearing. So less than 24 hours later, he was caught.
It never fails to amaze me how criminals get so dumb when it comes to social networks. Social networking sites.
Yeah, come on, just get rid of them. If you're going to be a thief, just get rid of them.
If you're going to be a criminal, just don't post on Facebook anymore.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
All right, ready for our next story?
Sure.
All right, well, guess what?
What?
Remember how the last couple of weeks we've been criticizing Florida that they really haven't been up to snuff lately?
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Seven stories from Florida.
Florida is back, and I've got three.
Oh, my God.
Three stories from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep. Well, apparently they're back with a vengeance. I've got three stories here from Florida.
I guess they didn't like us talking bad about them.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know which one to start with first. These are all interesting stories here.
Okay, so what happened in Florida? Or what several things happened in Florida?
Yeah, what several things happened in Florida? I'll go with this one first. A Florida man who weighs 551 pounds.
Wow.
Has asked the judge to nullify the rest of his 30-month house arrest sentence because he can't leave his home anyway, according to legal court documents.
So why does it matter then?
Right, that's what he's saying.
So, yeah,
he can't leave his house.
So what does it matter? I mean, why doesn't he just keep the house arrest? What does it matter?
He doesn't want to have it on his record.
Just want to have it, okay. But it's already on his record. he wants the second half of it removed? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately for this man, the U.S. District Judge did not buy his argument and rejected it. Goodman has about 7 months left on the 30-month sentence.
Well, he's already served most of it.
Yep.
Just leave it be.
Yep. Goodman has about seven months left on the 30-month sentence that he has for supplying more than 1 million oxycodones to pain management clinics that distributed the pills illegally. So he was a drug pusher.
But I thought he couldn't leave his house.
I guess that was before that he got to 551 pounds.
But he's only been locked up for 30 months.
He gained a lot of weight? I
Jesus
don't know.
Christ. How much weight did he gain in 30 months? He went from 150 pounds to 550 pounds.
Yep. According to his lawyer, he has only left his house three times since 2012.
Oh, my gosh.
So maybe he's getting a little cabin fever. I don't know.
Yeah.
He says that it doesn't matter because he can't leave his house anyway. The judge actually said the only reason that Goodman was sentenced to house arrest instead of jail is because the state can't care for him.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, we don't want you in prison. You can just stay at home.
Wow.
Damn.
Well, I mean, he got off kind of easy then. He got to stay home.
All right, so I guess we've learned something. If you're going to go to jail, you get, like, ridiculously overweight, and
gain
that way
gain 300 pounds, and that way
you can stay at home.
Yeah. If you have to go to jail, gain 300 pounds.
Yeah, there you go.
You get to stay home.
But it's just weird because it's going to go on the record that this guy asked to not have a house arrest because he's 551 pounds and can't leave his home anyway.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So there you go there. All right, ready for our next story?
Sure.
Yep, our next Florida story.
Now, who is this f- guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, let's go with this one here. A Florida man who was pulled over for speeding is now in much bigger trouble after he decided to call emergency dispatchers and report a fake murder in the area to try and distract the cops so that he wouldn't get a ticket.
Oh, my God. That sounds like a bad idea.
No, this will work. They'll go away.
Yeah.
I'm just a mindless speeder guy.
And when they don't discover a body, they're going to be really pissed.
They didn't think that far ahead.
I guess not.
Julius Luperwitz is accused of calling 911 about a made-up murder that was about to take place so that the officers who pulled him over would be called away from his speeding crime.
Wow. Did it work?
No.
Okay. I was just curious. Maybe they left and then they're like, hey, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
No, it didn't work like that.
Aw.
Lupowicz allegedly said in the 911 call, quote, I see there's a murder that's going to happen. Well, you know what? With this, compelling yeah. eyewitness account,
yeah.
Boy, I wonder why this didn't go through.
Yeah, there's some murder over there.
Say the goddamn f***ing words.
Please send help. Okay, bye.
Yeah, you're gonna need to speak a little bit more confident if you're gonna try and pull this off.
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
At least sound like you're worried that there's a murder taking place right before you.
Yeah.
He was so calm about it. There's a murder.
Yep. I'm reading this as the actual transcript. Yeah, that's why I'm putting it, yeah. So let me start again.
Yeah.
I see there's a murder that's going to happen. I swear Wingate and Hollywood. I swear there's going to be a murder any second. I swear there's a man with a gun. Please, I called. It's Wingate and Hollywood Corner. Thank you.
Wow.
That's also weird. Why does it keep changing? So is he like running?
He's chasing the guy with the gun who's chasing the
victim.
Wait,
he has a gun. He doesn't have a knife. I thought... Yeah, he's a gun. Why would he be like, just shoot him? That's it. It would be over if this was a murder.
No, I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Yeah, apparently he didn't put that through his head. A second 911 operator also received a separate call from Lupowitz. A sheriff's office dispatcher was able to determine that the calls came from Lupowitz, and the news went out over the radio. Captain Richard Cordeau said that when she broadcast that information, our officer was standing at the door of Mr. Lupowitz's vehicle, and we realized it was the same person making the same 911 calls.
Brilliant.
Well, are you ready for the punishment?
Okay.
Well, let's do before and after, because if he had just taken the ticket, if that's it, if he would have just stopped, would have done the smart thing, pulled over, that's it.
He would have just gotten some type of fine, right?
Yep, he would only have been fined $209.
Okay, it's kind of steep, but, you know, compared to what I think he's about to get.
Yep, as a result of him trying to call in a fake murder, He could spend up to 5 years in jail because it is a third-degree felony for misusing the 911 system in Florida.
Yeah, that's not good.
And guess what? He still has to pay the fine anyway because he was speeding. So they still wrote him up for that.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. A fine or 5 years of jail time and a fine.
Yep. Didn't think that one through.
No, apparently not.
As well as the story. Come on.
Yeah, you got to get your facts straight.
There's an armed robbery.
I swear, a murder. This guy's going to get shot.
I swear. I saw some guy using a jackhammer on Billy Bob's head on the side of the sidewalk. You know, it was no big
deal. It was on a street road, or Avenue Boulevard. I mean, it's at the corner of Boulevard and, oh gosh, where am I?
I have dementia. You might not want to listen to me, actually. But I swear there's a murder going on.
I swear there's a murder somewhere. At some time.
Somewhere in the area.
Somewhere in Florida, there's a murder happening at some time. You should go check that one out.
Somewhere, in some place of this town, at some time, there is some crime that is going to take place. Ooh. And you should be on that.
That's like Minority Report.
Wow.
Precog, right?
Yeah, so confident.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right, you ready for our last Florida story here?
Okay.
All right, let's wrap up the Florida segment here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's do this one. Three underwear bandits broke into a Florida restaurant earlier this week and made off with burgers and shrimp and red bell peppers.
Wait, three underwear bandits? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay.
One took a case of burgers, one took a case of shrimp, and one took a case of red bell peppers.
So they're planning a surf and turf dinner, but I don't understand why they're called underwear bandits.
Because they only wore underwear. Okay. That's it.
You know, most robbers, like, you know, want to cover up so they don't get identified. These guys decided to go the opposite route.
Yeah.
To take off all their clothes. Well,
throw them off guard.
Yeah, exactly. They won't expect it.
Yeah.
Naked criminals? I've never seen this before.
Well, it's unclear why the three men were only wearing their undies when they busted into the kitchen at Doc's Beach House in Bonita Springs, Florida. The restaurant surveillance cameras captured the men entering the restaurant and taking a case of burgers, shrimp, and red bell peppers. After the theft was complete, the thieves then decided to go back into the restaurant, take off their underwear, and just walk around the kitchen nude.
So they just stole a bunch of stuff, and they're like, you know what? We should stroll around in the kitchen nude for a little bit.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what it was. The thought of stealing all that beef and shrimp got them so turned on that they just had to wander around in the cold kitchen night air and cool off a little bit.
Yeah, what's the matter? You never got your rocks off to some naked kitchen attire?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Ooh.
Ooh, frozen hamburger patties.
Yeah. Ooh, the refrigerator. Ooh.
This is probably a real fetish.
We're going to find a kink section next week or something that, like, they get turned on by kitchen cutlery or something. I don't know.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Well, we had a story where those people were using balloons. Remember that story?
Yeah.
Way back when? Clowns and balloons.
Right.
So, you know, anything is possible.
Ooh, that pan feels nice on my ass.
Wow. Jesus. Just got really explicit all of a sudden. Jeez.
All sure, right. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Yeah,
no, I want you to make a clip of yourself saying that thing about the pan.
I will.
Okay.
It'll go on. And every time we have a kitchen story, we'll put that in there.
That's right. You better.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
So I got Hot Pockets, you got pans, all right?
Yeah, ooh.
Ooh. Ooh, a pan. What happens when you put the Hot Pocket in the pan?
Oh, that's when sparks fly, baby!
Oh, my God. What have we become on this podcast?
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight, then.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I have an interesting side note here.
What? Okay. There's more to this?
The Facebook page for Doc's Beach House, which was the victim here, decided to take it all in stride and made their next Facebook post with a picture of a still from the surveillance camera footage of these three guys and wrote on it, quote, so three naked guys robbed us this past weekend. They stole our award-winning burgers, shrimp, and peppers. Police haven't caught them yet, so if you blacked out over the weekend and woke up with a case of tasty meats, please tag yourself in this photo. Thank you.
And then the guy from the previous story
he came in. Right.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
But, you know, that's cool that they took it in stride, you know?
Yeah, that is cool.
I mean, you know, it's...
I mean, what else are you supposed to do at that point, right? I mean, three naked, what was it? How many naked dudes
three.
Was it? Three?
Yeah.
Just stole a case of hamburgers and shrimp. I mean, you know, that's pretty ridiculous. You got to just laugh at it.
Yeah. And I'm sure these guys will be caught soon.
I'm sure. Yeah.
They were naked.
They spent quite some time frolicking around in the kitchen naked, so.
Yeah. Boy, you know, you just know how hot it can get with that, you know?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, yeah. Kitchen supplies.
Ooh. 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 So erotic.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So what do we got next?
All right. Let's do some more dumb people here.
Okay. That's basically all the
obvious. Yeah, it is. But it's awesome.
Of course.
Going to Australia for this one.
Wow, Australia.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know if we've ever been to Australia for the odd news.
I don't know either.
All right, well, what happened in Australia? They got some crazy stuff down there. They got, like, wild animals and stuff. So what's going on over there?
This has to do with some prisoners.
Ah, well, Australia started out as, like, one massive prison colony for Great Britain. No, I'm serious.
Yeah,
that's how
right.
it started.
That is right.
So,
well,
they're keeping the legacy alive, apparently.
Yep. Australian authorities believe that four inmates escaped from a prison in Darwin, Australia, and then decided to return to the facility when they got drunk.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Yeah.
See, what happens is they start drinking, they get nostalgic, and, you know, they're like, oh, man, remember those good times we had in the prison? We should go back, guys.
Sure.
Sure.
The inmates,
they hopped in their kangaroos and they... It's such a stereotypical view of Australia.
The
Come
inmate,
on, mate. Let's go back to prison.
There you go.
So the dingo can eat my baby.
The inmates escaped from a work center at the Burramaya Jail and then came back after a few hours out on the town.
See, that's all they wanted. They just wanted to get out for a little bit.
Yeah, they just needed some time.
Yeah, they
needed to blow off some steam.
Exactly. They wanted to have some beer and, you know, just relax for a little bit.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
The prisoners allegedly hopped the center's fence and then met up with partners on the outside. Guards then discovered the drunken prisoners fighting over a phone and figured out what had happened. It's possible that this is not the first time the prisoners have escaped and returned.
So they've done this before?
Maybe.
They've probably been doing this like once a week for the past however many, you know, months or years.
Well, they're responsible.
Yeah, right. They always come back.
They always came back.
And they always locked up behind them. You know, they were very responsible.
What's the problem here?
Yeah, you know, if only all prisoners were like that.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
The guards discovered 5 cell phones, 2 empty bottles of booze, and a small quantity of a substance believed to be marijuana on the inmates when they returned. The inmates are now being held in a maximum security section of the prison, and authorities are continuing to investigate what exactly happened. But you know what?
What happened is their security sucks.
Yeah, your security sucks.
That's what happens. If how many people is this? 4 people?
4 people, yeah.
They escaped. They
do it every Friday night.
Yeah. Well, look, they escaped. They got drunk, and they somehow got back into prison. You have really bad security if you can't notice 4 drunk guys sneaking back into prison.
Love you very much. I'm going to come see you one day, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, there you go.
That's their motto. We're going to come see you whether you like it or not.
Prison can't hold us down.
That's right. And you said they've done this,
They said it's possible that this is not the first time.
It's possible. Okay. So what they mean is, oh my gosh, these guys have been doing this a lot.
Oh my God, we never noticed this whole time. What the hell's wrong with us?
All the prisoners have been doing it, really. Actually, there's no security at the prison.
Yeah, at this point, just let them go.
They're
responsible, they come back.
Yeah, I mean, Australia has like the most polite criminals ever.
Yeah, they just come back. It's very nice.
See, other places, they have naked people stealing hamburgers. In Australia, they just have a couple of guys that want to grab a few drinks. And yeah,
it's like prison happy hour.
Yeah, exactly. No big deal.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Yeah, go get a beer. Follow the words of Gary Busey.
Yes, the almighty Gary Busey.
Love you very much. I'm going to come see you one day, whether you like it or not.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
So there you go.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Of course.
An Oklahoma woman wasn't satisfied with the purity of her meth.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
Yep, we got a meth story here.
Okay.
An Oklahoma woman who wasn't satisfied with the purity of her meth decided to do something about it. Unfortunately for her, the course of action she chose ended up leaving her with felony drug charges because she allegedly called police
to
complain that, quote, my ice is laced.
Oh, my gosh. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. That's the message she left on the police answering machine.
Yep. Well, when officers arrived to check out Lynette Ray Sampson, a 54-year-old, Sampson opened the door gladly and said, quote, I'm so glad you came, officers. She's like welcoming them.
Please check this meth. I think someone's done something to it.
During the course of their interaction, Sampson showed off to the officer multiple areas where she had the meth stashed in her house.
Oh, my gosh. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
She also admitted that she liked to use the drug and that sometimes she
No kidding.
Yeah. And sometimes she was hearing things and sweating profusely.
Well, she's just sharing it all with these cops, isn't she?
Why not?
I mean, at this point.
And the officers are just kicking back and just letting like a tape recorder just roll.
This is the easiest arrest they've ever made.
Yep. Well, after she was done bragging about how she enjoyed meth, the officers arrested Sampson and brought her to the local county jail.
Surprise, you're under arrest.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. And they never fixed her meth, did they?
No, they didn't.
See that? The authorities, they just don't care about the little guy, do they?
They just don't.
Talk about an abuse of power.
Police Captain Jack Morris said that, quote, once you think you've seen it all, something new comes and surprises you like this.
I don't understand what's going through her mind. Like,
yeah. If I complain, they're going to do something about it.
Yeah, what are the cops going to do about your meth?
We're going to go to that drug dealer and show them that they can't take advantage of the little guy.
Does she expect the cops to get her a new batch?
Like, I demand a refund.
All right, ma'am, we're right on it. Like, obviously she knows that it's illegal because she probably goes to like some shady back alley dealer, you know, to get the stuff. But she apparently thinks it's okay to call the cops to help her get better meth. Like, come on. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
Yep. Her meth wasn't top quality.
Yeah. I paid top dollar for this meth.
Sampson is now facing a felony count of possession of meth and a count of unlawful possession of drug paraphernalia. She could be sentenced to up to 10 years in jail if convicted.
Wow.
So all because she thought her meth wasn't top quality.
Yeah, and because she called the cops to help her fix it.
Yeah, that was her mistake.
Yeah, that was her fatal character flaw.
Yeah. Shame.
I really don't understand. She must have been so out of it that she thought she could just call the cops and that would be a logical solution. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
All right. You ready for our last story?
Okay. What do you got?
All right. This one is making the rounds, but okay. It's unbelievable.
All right.
It sounds like a fake news headline, but it is true.
Okay.
According to the Journal of Sexual Medicine,
all right.
A 38-year-old Scottish woman walked into a hospital to discover that a sex toy had been lodged in her hoo-ha for over 10 years.
Oh, my God.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
I just give up.
Oh my God.
After all of my recap session that I did last week.
I know, and now another one.
And now this is even worse. How do you not know it's inside of you for 10 years?
I know.
What the hell?
I mean, oh my gosh. What? Okay, whatever. So, I'm speechless.
You know what the problem is? You're impossible to work for. You've been riding me for years.
Yeah, well she's riding that for years.
Yeah, I guess so.
The woman sought medical
attention. How did that get up there?
The woman sought medical attention after she contracted sepsis, which is a potentially fatal condition in which the body fends off severe infections by releasing chemicals into the bloodstream. The chemicals can fight the infection, but they can also trigger inflammation that cause organ damage and even organ failure. So this is pretty serious. She had to...
Wow, and all because of a sex toy.
Yeah. The woman had also been suffering from fatigue and sudden weight loss. When doctors investigated, they were surprised to find a 5-inch object protruding into the woman's bladder from her hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha!
5 inches is not exactly, you know, something tiny that you just lose. You know, it's sizable.
At this point, the patient happened to recall that she had once used a sex toy during...
10 years ago.
During a sexual encounter and, quote, had forgotten to remove it.
Come on.
After 10 years.
10 years?
10 years, come on.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
This is just ridiculous.
Yep. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, how did the woman not How did she not realize that her body contained a foreign object? How did she not realize that, you know, that it was missing the next day or any day yeah. thereafter for 3,650 days? Just.
Yeah, nothing. The number of days. That's great.
Yes, I got it right here.
Nice.
What even makes it even worse?
Oh, God. There's more to this?
Yep.
Not the fact that she lost a sex toy for 10 years inside of her?
Yep. What makes this even crazier?
Okay.
Is this woman, according to the Journal of Sexual Medicine, is the definition of a normal woman.
Okay.
This woman had not had any issues of depression, psychosis. She has a normal IQ. She did not ever need treatment at a hospital. She had never been abused. She is just a normal woman.
Maybe that's why she lost it. She was so normal that, you know, she just, I don't know. I can't explain it.
Right. And that is what the Journal of Sexual Medicine finds to be the most baffling part of this story. I mean, there's, according to the article, quote, there is no factor that can explain this woman's obliviousness regarding a sex toy in her hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha!
Hey, she just must be really, really dense to not realize that.
Yeah. Fortunately, doctors were able to surgically remove the decade-old sex toy, repair the woman's internal damage.
Actually, can I have that back? I've been looking for it. I misplaced it 10 years ago. I've been looking for it ever since.
Fortunately, doctors were able to surgically remove the decade-old sex toy, repair the woman's internal damage, and send her on her way back home.
Wow.
10 years.
And on the way back home, she stopped at a sex toy shop.
I need to get a new one.
Yeah.
Oh my God, 10 years.
That's just crazy.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
How about we just do a basic counting game? You have 3 sex toys. You have a nice little encounter. The next morning you wake up,
missing.
You have 2 sex toys. I wonder what happened to the third one.
She ate it.
I mean, just how do you not realize that?
She must have been really busy and just forgot. I don't know how, like, you know, over the course of future events, she doesn't ever notice.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I give up on trying to prevent women from sticking things up their hoo-ha.
You've made that your crusade over the past.
I mean, last week I went over a bullet by bullet point of all the weird things that were hitting up the hoo-ha.
And you know what? Next week we'll probably have another story.
And
about
it just can't be stopped. Apparently,
just can't be stopped.
Apparently, this is just like commonplace. I guess I don't know.
It's an epidemic. They just stick things up there and they use it like a kangaroo uses a pouch. it's like a little tote bag, you know.
So I don't know. Women, go do what you want to do. I guess I don't know. I thought my common sense message of just not sticking random objects up there would be
after we I know after we
enough.
Heard about last week we heard about what we, broken crack pipes and cookies
cookies a broken crack pipe
guns.
A Rolex watch a gun
at least this thing technically you know belonged there
yeah but not for 10 years
I mean it's better than cookies and parts of a crack pipe though.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you can eat my cookies?
Mm. Oh, these cookies!
Put that cookie down! Now!
I don't know. I give up.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky!
Yep, I give up. And that is this week's batch of odd news stories for you in the non-fortune cookie odd news. All right, well, with that, before we like to close out the show, we like to recap everything that we've learned on this jam-packed show between the sports, entertainment, and odd news, and we like to call it, What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned?
Well, I just learned that, sadly, you're giving up your crusade of trying to stop women from sticking things where they don't belong.
Yeah, obviously. They're going to do it.
Any final words on your failed crusade?
I don't know.
I don't know. There you go.
I guess women have a better idea of how to use it for their own use. I don't know.
And maybe it's a good place to store cookies and guns and crack pipes. I don't know. Maybe it's a good idea.
There you go.
I don't know. That's what we've learned, apparently.
Yep. I didn't know that. Before we did the Crispy Noodle Podcast, I did not know the hoo-ha could be used for such
storage purposes. It's a second purse.
Yeah.
All right.
That came from Mike. That didn't come from me.
Yeah, but we're all thinking it. We also learned that Australia has the most polite prisoners that always return to prison after they escape.
That's nice. Very courteous.
Yeah, they just wanted to go out and get a beer. You know, that's it. That's all they wanted.
Nothing wrong with that.
But we did learn if you're going to jail, make sure you gain like 400 pounds, and that way you get to stay home.
Ta-da, house arrest.
Ta-da, house arrest.
Because the state doesn't want your fat ass.
Wow.
That's their new slogan.
I guess so, yeah. But you know what? If you're going to pursue a criminal career, don't post to social networking sites. Just don't do it.
Yeah, come on, thieves. Don't.
The number of people
media.
That have been caught because of Facebook and Twitter is just astounding.
Yep.
And last but not least, we learned that Florida is back with a vengeance this week. They had 3 stories.
3.
Wow.
I guess they knew we were dissing them the last couple weeks.
Yeah, well, they showed us up, didn't they?
Yeah. And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
And that's what we have learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But before we start to officially wrap up the show, we got a little bit of a programming update for you guys. You know what? It's been a little bit of a long summer. And you know what? We haven't had a break during this whole summer, so we figured it's time to take a little bit of a vacay. Isn't that right?
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, we're going to be stepping away in the first week of August. Yep. So
just for a week, don't
just
worry.
Just for a week, yeah. We'll be back after that. But we're not going to leave you empty-handed that week, are
no,
we, Rich? No,
we can't do that.
Of course not.
That is why next week's show is going to be a kind of a best-of show. We'll be going over some awesome side dishes that we've had in the past.
Yeah.
Some great, what I think are the best odd news stories we've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely got a few treats in store for fans, I think.
Yep. So do not miss next week's episode. It'll definitely be one for the books and one that'll make you laugh during the whole 2 hours.
Yeah, that's right. It's a best of, a best bits episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. But just wanted to give you the heads up that next week will not be a regular show, but instead a more best of kind of show as we go on a summer vacation, if you will. Everyone's going on summer vacation. Why not?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, by the time August rolls around, that's when a lot of people go away. So,
yeah. But don't worry, it's only for that week. And then we return the following week. And I think by that time...
football news.
Yeah, football kicks off.
That's right, yeah.
So there we go. Mike is already excited to go.
That's really why we need the vacation, is to get prepped for football news.
There you go. That's why Mike needs the vacation.
Yeah, exactly. I need to take a break, get myself mentally and physically and emotionally prepared for football.
So there you go. A little programming note there. Woo! But as for right now, what a show.
Another amazing one in the books.
That's right. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can get some of our videos and highlights, some of our favorite bits from the past episodes. But most importantly, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player. So you can take us with you wherever you go, on the road, at work, at home. You can listen to us anytime, anywhere. Just download the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And we also have an official SoundCloud page. Go to SoundCloud.com and search the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And there you'll find mini noodles, which are essentially 1 to 2 minute noodle promos from our podcast. And it's easily shareable. That's how you can get friends interested, hooked on the Crispy Noodle. It's so cool.
That's right. So there you go. Tons of ways to share and connect with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually, though, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And you never know what we're up to. I was in New York City on Sunday. Go figure.
That's right. And remember, every Wednesday, you can get the Crispy Noodle early by tuning into our Blog Talk Radio show from 9 to 11. If you can't watch us or listen to watch us,
you can do both.
But if you can't tune in, then make sure to pick up the podcast on Thursday, right, Rich?
That's right. Thursday is when the podcast gets released, no matter what. So you can always tune in and expect a podcast on Thursday. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Woo! I think that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Well, we'll see you guys next week. I don't know why. I feel like we're coming to the... I don't know.
We need the vacation.
We need the vacation. We'll see you guys for football.
That's right.
Football!
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.